Let's continue in our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Here we have the account of the healing of a demon-possessed man at Capernaum. It's the first recorded miracle by Mark, and it certainly emphasizes our Lord's power over the demonic realm. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Some background notes to help us understand the setting of this portion of the Gospel of Mark. In verse 21, we read that they entered into Capernaum. Capernaum was a town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was an important commercial city on the old road that went all the way from Egypt to Damascus of Syria. We know from Matthew chapter 8 that Roman soldiers were garrisoned there. We also know that it was the present home of Peter and Andrew, James and John. Furthermore, we know that it was the new home of our Lord. He had recently moved there from Nazareth. We read that in Matthew 4 and verse 13. There was a synagogue at Capernaum, as we see here in verse 21. A synagogue was a place for teaching, and it was also a place for schooling, like a Hebrew school for Jewish boys. If you visit the ruins of Capernaum today, you'll see the ruins of a synagogue. But this synagogue dates from later centuries. However, archaeologists have excavated beneath this synagogue, and they've shown the first century synagogue where our Lord taught is there underneath the present synagogue. We see here the Lord is given an opportunity to teach. The leader of the synagogue would have offered the Lord an opportunity to teach, and they're astonished at his teaching there in verse 22, because he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, what does that mean? Well, the scribes would teach by quoting rabbinic opinion and quoting other scribes. Rabbi so-and-so said such and such, or this rabbi has this opinion, that rabbi has that opinion. But that's not the way our Lord taught. Our Lord taught with authority. "I say unto you, God says, the word of the Lord says." He taught with authority because he is God. In verse 23, we read that a man with an unclean spirit was in the audience. That is, the man was demon-possessed with a demon or demons that caused unclean and immoral thoughts and language and action. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that has unclean thoughts is possessed of a demon. But in this case, the man was possessed by a demon or demons, and these demons caused unusual, impure and unclean and immoral thoughts and language and action. All right, just before we go to our doctrinal points, I do want to emphasize that just because a person has impure thoughts or actions or language, that doesn't mean they're necessarily demon-possessed. But if you find a person that is unusually characterized by lewd and impure and immoral thoughts and language and action, there is a possibility they might be demon-possessed. The true determining factor, of course, would be when it comes down to the person of Christ, when the matter of the deity of Christ and Christ as the only way of salvation comes up, if there seems to be an uncontrollable anger and refusal to admit to that truth, then there may indeed be a good possibility that that person is demon-possessed and their impure and immoral thoughts and actions and language is as a result of demon possession. All right, let's move then to our doctrinal points from this section. Let's look at three doctrinal points concerning demons. That is, I think in this passage we see at least three points here that the Bible teaches concerning demons. One, demons can inhabit religious places. Demons can inhabit religious places. Notice that the demon-possessed man is not outside the synagogue or in some seedy bar or something like that. He's right in the synagogue, in the midst of the professing people of God. Can that happen today? Yes. Satan is not opposed to infiltrating the church. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that he comes as an angel of light. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, we read there that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And the context here is it's within the professing church that this takes place. Demons will do whatever they can to sneak into the midst of God's people. They can even be involved in a display of supernatural power, such as occult healing. Some people get the idea that just because some supernatural display of power takes place, such as a healing within a church, oh, it must be of God. Hey, it happened in the church. Not necessarily. Satanic power may be involved. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Remember, demons can inhabit religious places. Doctrinal point number 2. Demons are orthodox in their belief. Demons are orthodox in their belief. Notice from verse 24 that the demon or demons know that Jesus was from Nazareth and he was the Holy One of God. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now the Lord silenced the demon here because the Lord did not want to accept the witness of demons. He did not want people coming to him because of the testimony of demons, then or now. But the demons, you see, are orthodox in their belief. James 2 and verse 19, we read, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Demons are not saved, but they are orthodox in their belief. They don't have any problems believing in the existence of God, or that God is the creator, or that Jesus is God. James' point here in James 2:19 is that orthodox belief only does not save a person. There must be true faith. Do you have more than just belief in God and Christ? Have you committed your life by faith to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Doctrinal point number 3. Demons must submit to the authority of Christ. Demons must submit to the authority of Christ. In verse 25 we read, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. Notice the Lord did not have to conduct an elaborate ritual of exorcism. There was no chanting or incantations or even laying on of hands. He just spoke the word. No wonder we read in verse 27 that they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. He spoke with authority, and evidence of that authority was that he commanded demons, and they obeyed. Demons must submit to the authority of Christ. Practical application. Practical application number 1. We can speak with authority. We can speak with authority. Again, we read in verse 22 that they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Lord did not quote other people's opinions. He said, God says, or I say, or the word of the Lord says. Well, you know, we too can speak with authority because we have the Word of God. We don't have to say it's the opinion of some biblical scholars that there is a hell and there might be a heaven. We can say with authority there is a hell because the Word of God says there's a hell. We don't have to teach we think that there's a heaven or we think that Jesus might be the only way of salvation. We know. And therefore, we can preach with authority. Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. There is only one way. Not all roads lead up the same mountain. There's only one way. And we can preach that Jesus is the only way because the Bible says so, because the Lord Jesus says so. That's preaching with authority. We may even at times be called on to command evil spirits to depart. As committed Christians, we do have power over demons. As the unbelieving scholars in Jesus' day only quoted opinions, so the unbelieving scholars do the same today. But as Jesus was different and taught with authority, so we are to be different. We are to teach and preach with authority. We have God's word, and therefore we can speak with authority. Practical application number two. Let's not be surprised if healing is painful. Let's not be surprised if healing is painful. When the Lord casts out the demon in verse 26, we read, "And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him." Well, that wasn't a pleasant experience, was it? But it left no doubt in the minds of the people or of the man himself that demons were real and they were under the authority of Christ. And now they were gone. There is no question about it. Well, there's also a lesson for us here. Just as going to the dentist or doctor may involve some pain, but it's for our physical well-being, so for our spiritual healing and spiritual well-being, there may be some pain involved. This could be applied in a number of ways, but let's take relationships, for example. Maybe for your spiritual well-being, there's a relationship in your life right now that needs to be broken. Let's say you're a single person, and you have a growing but wrong relationship with an unbeliever. That relationship needs to be broken. It may be painful, but in the long run, it's for your spiritual well-being. Maybe you're married, but you have a wrong relationship with a man or a woman who is not your spouse. You need to break that relationship. Yes, it may be painful, but this is for your healing and spiritual well-being. Perhaps there's a relationship that needs to be healed between you and a fellow believer. You need to confess your faults one to the other. This can be painful, but it will lead to healing and spiritual well-being. Let's not be surprised if healing is painful.